Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Looks like we are live just now. All right. Well, praise God. We are live. It's good to be back this morning. Good to be back in our study. Part 37, Getting to Know Jesus. Amen. And we're in familiar territory this morning. The Lord's dealing with some issues. And this is a very important one this morning, because this is something you and I deal with every day. Every single day you live, you're going to deal with this. Let me get this pulled up here where I can look at it. All right. We are in Matthew chapter 7 this morning, and we're going to look at the first five verses. That's all we're going to look at today. Verses 1 through 5, chapter 7. We might touch on verse 6 before we're done. I'm not positive, but I want you to remember something as we look at this. This is the same sermon. We have spread this out over many, 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 many weeks. This is the same sermon that the Lord started preaching when he walked down the hill after having called his disciples. And again, he walked down the hill, and there's all these people who are possessed, these people who are, all their whole life, they have been troubled by devils. Their whole life, they have dealt with a crippling injury, crippling disease, something that made them of little use to society around them, made them put them in a position, though it wasn't their all of them's fault, put them in a position where they've been mistreated. They've been looked at as lesser people than others. Understand everybody there. I want you to know something. Can I help you with something? Everybody that came that day came with baggage. Everybody in this room has got baggage. We have baggage that we brought with us from times that we've been hurt by family members. Every one of us comes to this service with baggage from times that we've been hurt by spouses. Not all of us, some of us haven't been married, but we bring hurts brought upon by friends that we trusted. We have hurts from all kinds of things. And these hurts, sometimes if we wanna look at it this way, prey upon us psychologically. They mess with our head a little bit. And so Jesus has given us some information on how to deal with this world, because if we're not careful, We will be, and it's human nature. It's human nature. Because the world beats us up so bad sometimes, we just kind of submit. And I'm not saying to God, I'm saying we kind of submit to the world around us. We begin to submit and just go along, because we don't want any more conflict from anybody else, anywhere else. So we feel like it's better for us to just kind of keep our mouth shut and go along and don't cause any ripples in the water with anybody. And Jesus is addressing this group of people who have been a hindrance to everybody in their life, their entire life. Understand that. Don't miss that. So if there's ever a crowd of people that probably once they got up from their well, wanted to go back out and not cause any more ripples, it's probably this group of people. Okay? But there's some things that we need to think about, and we're going to address that this morning. I want to read these first five verses, and we'll pray, and I'll get into this, and I'll try to expound a little further on what I'm saying. The Bible says, Jesus said to these people who had just got saved this day, he said, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." Okay? And he said, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Let's pray. Father, again, I come before you and I ask you, Lord, for your Holy Ghost to absolutely control me, Father. I know that I need you this morning. Lord, as much as I need to keep breathing, as much as my heart needs to keep pumping, I need you. I need the Holy Ghost of God to steer and direct me and control my thoughts and preach this message that's before me. Lord, I want to help. I want to give instruction to your people. Lord, whether they be sitting here where I can see them with my eyes or whether they be out there in cyberspace somewhere listening to us live or listening to us on the broadcast by through the archives, wherever and however it may be, Father, I know that I need you. Lord, I can't help anybody if you don't do it. Lord, I realize that I am nothing without you, and I need you so much. Lord God, I pray that each one that's under the sound of my voice is in the same shape I am. Lord, we need you so much. We can't figure out our way. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. We live in a world of deception. We live in a world full of lies. We live in a world full of folks who despise us and want to get rid of us. We live in a world, Lord, that's corrupt everywhere. Lord, please help us to cling to the truth. Please help us to stand for what's right. Please help us, Father, to understand the Word of God today and apply it exactly as it's written. Lord, I pray you'd guide me in my thoughts. Please, Father, you do the preaching through me. I'll give myself to you. You use this vessel for your honor and glory. And it's for all for Jesus' sake, all for his sake. And in his name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to talk this morning about that, about the liberal's favorite verse. We could say that. The snowflake's favorite verse, however you want to call them. The group of people out there today who stand on the street corners and protest against everything that's right. Those who stand out there and wave signs that say hell's a big party and I can't wait to go. Against those who stand out there and wave signs that say if Jesus comes back, kill him again. Against those people who stand out there and say I had an abortion and I'm proud. I mean, this verse is their favorite verse. This verse is the favorite verse of the drunkard. It's the favorite verse of the drug addict. It's the favorite verse of the one who's living in sin, no matter what sin it may be. If they're comfortable in their sin, this is their favorite Bible verse. Judge not that ye be not judged. What they interpret that to mean is, don't you say nothing to me if you don't want me saying nothing back to you. That's their interpretation of the verse. Well, let me just start out by saying that anybody who holds to any standard of righteousness in this world we live in this current culture of tolerance where everybody's supposed to be okay with what everybody else is doing, is in trouble. If you hold to anything, if you have a standard of righteousness anymore, you're in trouble. If you say that homosexuality is perversion, if you stand up and say, well, abortion is murder, if you say that, well, if you're sleeping with her or if you're sleeping with him and y'all ain't married, that's sin. Or if you say that Jesus is the only way that you're going to get to heaven, get ready, somebody slap a label on you and call you intolerant. Call your names. They will. They'll treat you ugly if you stand up for anything. You'll be called intolerant because intolerance isn't tolerated in our culture. You get that? Intolerance isn't tolerated. People are intolerant of intolerance. Amen? You'll be branded as being closed-minded. Let's say you're not open-minded enough. Because, see, our culture is not open-minded to anybody that's closed-minded. You're going to be criticized for being critical of things that you're against. And you'll be branded as unloving because the culture we live in today, it hates people that aren't loving, see. You just need love, love, love. You see, there's a commercial they play all the time now of the Pro Bowl last year, the football game, and they show up on the screen that's hard in this huge big screen, and you see, well, there's a white man and a black woman, and they kiss, and then there's two women that stand up, and they kiss each other, and then it's two people have Down syndrome, and they give each other a big hug, and then not too long ago, there was this screen. It was like you could only see silhouettes, and there was people kissing behind it, and then they'd come out behind the screen, and it was two women, the other was two men. It's just love, 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 love. They want us to love. See, that's their culture, is loving, and we're not loving. And like I said, a lot of times those that are not tolerant of us intolerant Christians, they quote this Bible verse right here, and they do that to prove how wrong intolerance is. They say, judge not. See, Jesus said, judge not. And they take Christ's words and they twist them to mean that nobody has the right to make a moral appraisal of anybody else. You can't look at my life and see what I'm doing. You have no right to look at me and say that what I'm doing is wrong. How dare you to judge me? That's what they take Jesus to mean. But that's not what they're doing. I mean, okay, let me put it this way. If they do that, if they say, you have no right to judge me, how dare you do that, they're making a moral appraisal of those they accuse of making a moral appraisal of them. They, if you say homosexuality is wrong, they say, don't judge. And in the process, they're just as guilty of what they find me guilty of. Because they're judging me for judging them, right? If they don't judge, then they say, well, it's okay if you judge me. I'm not going to judge you for judging me. But no, they turn right around and do the very same thing you're doing to them. So is it wrong to judge? I mean, they say, it's wrong. You shouldn't judge people. They say, you shouldn't judge others. That's the whole, they beat that drum everywhere. Anywhere there's liberals talking about anything, and I'm not just up here mad at liberals this morning, but that's who's doing most of it, okay? In this world we live in, you could have called them whatever back in Jesus' day. You could call them liberal snowflakes, whatever today. These people who have embraced sin, they've embraced immorality, they've embraced wickedness, they have no standard, they have no line of demarcation and say, this is wickedness over here, we won't go over here. They have none of that. Whatever you want to do, you do it, and we'll support you in doing it, and we'll love you, and as high as you, and big as you want to fly your freak flag, you go right ahead, and we'll just applaud you doing it. We'll love you for it. Well, see, God doesn't go for all that. God is not, I mean, listen, last time I checked, he rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, he did that because he made a judgment about the wickedness of that city. Okay, I remember back in the Bible where, you know, he looked down upon the wickedness of men and he only found one man who was righteous enough to survive a global flood, him and his family. I mean, him and his three sons and their wives and his wife, and that's it. Was he judging to do that? I believe he was. But they say it's wrong to judge. It's the cry of sinners who don't want to be made uncomfortable in their sin that they're doing every day. They don't want anybody to tell them anything. It's the message that's given by church folks in the big churches. They've given themselves over to political correctness and soft prosperity preaching, and they don't stand up for truth anymore. So they cry out, oh, we just need to embrace. It's ecumenicalism. Let's throw down all the things that we used to stand for, and let's embrace everybody and bring everybody in, and we'll just be a wonderful church that makes people feel good about themselves. That's why America's apostate. America's in a horrible apostate condition. That means they've turned their back on truth. The churches, the large majority of churches in America have turned their back on the truth. Amen. Jesus said not to judge. Well, did he really say that? That's what they'll tell you. Did he say we shouldn't judge anything? Well, we're going to find out this morning, okay? Well, let's examine the text, first of all. Let's examine the context that he's using here. And we'll see that Jesus is not condemning all judging. He's not doing that at all. What is he doing? Look up here. What is Jesus saying don't do? If he's not telling us to not judge at all. Because he's not saying that. He's not saying just go about your life and don't judge anybody. You just take care of you. Never look over there and say, well, this is right or wrong. If he's not saying that, what's he saying? Okay? Let's look at verse 5. He's condemning being a hypocrite. That's what he's doing. He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt clearly see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Okay, well, let's look back up here in verse. Let's read verse 3 down here, verse 3 through 5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? The mote, that's kind of like somebody's cutting something on a saw, and one little tiny fleck of sawdust happened to get in your brother's eye. Okay? It's not big enough to stick in there. It's not big enough to really be seen very easily, but it's big enough to know it's in there and to irritate. Okay? He said, why are you, beholdest, why are you sitting there looking for that little mote that's in thy brother's eye, but consider it's not the beam that's in thine own eye. That's like a big old gigantic oak log sticking in your eye, like a huge oak tree trunk sticking in your eyeball. And you're sitting there trying to find a little tiny fleck of sawdust in your brother's eye. He said, and you ain't considered that beam that's in your eye. You haven't even thought about the fact. He said, how wilt thou say to thy brother? How are you going to say to him, let me pull out that little fleck, that little piece of cellulose out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. How are you going to do that? And that's when Jesus said, thou hypocrite. Okay? So Jesus is not for hypocritical judging. Here's what it, let me break it down for you. To tell somebody that they shouldn't do something, if I'm doing it myself, is hypocrisy. Okay? And it's serious and it's deep rooted sin. If I'm, look here, if I've got a bad drinking problem, okay? If every time I get in the truck or every time I'm somewhere where I can take a drink and I'm getting drunk, okay? But yet I see somebody else and boy, I just jump all over them and blow it up and make a big deal because they took a sip of something. If I'm doing that, then I'm a hypocrite, right? Okay? I mean, if I say to JD, JD, you better not ever smoke cigarettes. Don't you ever smoke cigarettes. Jackson, don't you dare ever take up smoking cigarettes. You better not smoke cigarettes. Don't you ever start drinking. Don't you dare. Y'all better not be cussing. I don't better not hear cuss words coming out of your mouth. And yet, every chance I get, I'm off smoking and drinking and cussing. I'm a hypocrite. Okay? That's why it's hard to be a preacher. Let me tell you why it's hard to be a preacher. Because I'm a sinner too. It's hard to be a preacher and preach to others while you yourself know it's hitting you at the same time. Y'all hearing me this morning? If I tell my kids, listen, don't be watching filth, and yet I'm watching filth, I look like a hypocrite. If I tell my children, don't you dare listen to nasty music that puts ideas in your head, and yet I'm listening to nasty music putting ideas in my head, I'm a hypocrite. If you tell your kids they got to go to church and you don't go to church, you're a hypocrite. But you know how many people do that? They get up and they send their kids off to Sunday school, but yet they won't go themselves, won't go to church. They're a hypocrite to their children. To tell your kids, you better be serious about God's will. You better get in that Bible and you better find out what God wants you to do with your life, and yet you don't get in the Bible yourself and ask God, God, show me how to live my life, then you're being a hypocrite. And this is what Jesus is addressing right here. Amen? If you tell your kids and you insist that your kids don't fight and that your kids get along and you and your spouse fight like cats and dogs, you're a hypocrite. For a dad to insist that his kids respect their mother and he doesn't respect their mother, he's a hypocrite. For a mother to tell their kids to obey their dad and to listen to him and do what he says, and she won't listen to him and she won't do what he says either, she's a hypocrite. And this is the kind of thing Jesus was warning about. I want you to understand something. Jesus does not forbid us from judging. Matter of fact, it's not only that. He actually encourages us to judge. And that's what we're going to see here in just a minute. In this same sermon, he warned us about false prophets. In the same chapter in verse 15 through 17, and of course we'll hit this in a couple weeks, but he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Well, they look like real prophets. They look like real preachers. They talk like real preachers. They dress like real preachers. I don't really know how a preacher's supposed to dress exactly, but hey, we all dress different, don't we? But he said, beware, they come to you in sheep's clothing. No, but they look like, they sound like, they portray themselves as a Christian. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves. They're just there to take advantage of you. They're just there to get everything they can get from you. He said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, evil fruit. It's impossible for me to tell if somebody's a false prophet if I can't judge what their doctrine teaches. You understand that? If I can't sit down and judge whether or not what they're teaching me is true or not, then I can't judge whether or not they're false prophet. And God told me to beware. How do I beware of something I can't judge for myself? How do I know if I can't judge their actions? Because he said, by their fruit you shall know them. So only way, maybe I'm not a judge, but I'm a fruit inspector. But if I'm a fruit inspector, I'm judging the fruit, aren't I, JD? Right? Guy sits down with a basket of apples. He goes through them one by one. He's looking for quality. He has to have a standard. There has to be a picture of an apple somewhere that he goes by in order to use it. Well, here, where's your picture? Your picture's this book right here. This is your picture of what a Christian ought to be. It's in this book. It'll tell you in here what a prophet ought to teach. So God's told us to judge these things. All right? So we measure by the word of God. That's how we're able to judge. Amen? And if we just look, we'll find all this stuff in the scripture. The Lord Jesus himself, he said we are to judge righteous judgment. They say, judge not, judge not. Well, here's what Jesus said in another place. In John 7:24, he said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, you don't need to judge somebody based on what you see. You need to judge somebody based on what I have told you. Right? Because if you judge things and you judge people just by what you see, you only see the outside of somebody. You may not see their heart. I watched a video the other day. It was a social experiment these guys were doing. It's actually a guy who's a comedian, but he tried doing something serious. He went around and asked people their opinion, and whenever they would give it, he'd give them money. Thank you, man. Here's $5. It blew people's minds. They were judging him, his actions, by giving them money. Then there was another one where he went around and he found a homeless guy, and he gave this guy a $100 bill, and he followed him. And he followed him after he gave him a $100 bill, and he went into this liquor store, and he's walking behind him, and he said, see where he's headed. Well, the guy came out with two big old grocery bags, and he followed him. And he followed him to a park where there were other homeless people. And instead of liquor, there was groceries. And he began handing out these groceries to these other homeless people in the park and spending that $100 on others. And the guy followed him over there, and he said, man, I had the wrong impression of you. He said, I thought you were going to get drunk. He said, no, man. He said, there's so many people out here that didn't mean to be out here. Life just done something, threw them a curveball, and they ended up, you know, one thing led to another. They're good people, but they're – see, you can't – we're not to judge what we see. We're to judge what we see according to the Word of God. Amen? We're not just to judge based on appearance, but by looking at how God says things ought to be done. Now, I'm not suggesting God says you ought to go to the liquor store and buy groceries, okay? But I'm simply trying to use that as an example. We can't just look at somebody's outside and judge them based on – we need to judge them by their – amen? By their fruits, ye shall know them. That's what God said. So we're to judge righteous judgment. Proverbs 17:15, the Bible says, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. God says when somebody justifies the wicked, in other words, they don't use righteous judgment. They say, it's okay. We got to love everybody. That's wicked, God says. And he that condemneth the just, the person who says, no, you're judging me. You're judging me. All I'm doing is telling you what God said. No, God says both of those things are abominations. That means it makes God want to vomit that people do that. Psalm 82, verse 2, the Bible says, how long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? So if we just say, you men, you love men, that's fine with us. We're okay with that. That's beautiful. Men are loving men. That's love. Or the women over here that want to marry women, how lovely. That's fine. That's beautiful. Listen, we're judging wickedly. God said so. We're accepting the persons of the wicked. God doesn't like that, amen? Proverbs 24:23, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. We shouldn't go around judging people. Well, they're my friends, so it's okay that they live wickedly. They're my friends, so I can overlook that. We're not to do that either. We're not to do things according to our flesh. That's the thing. If we judge things based on, you have an opinion, JD, of people in a certain way. You view certain things in a certain way. You have an opinion about everything in your life. You don't realize you ain't thought about it maybe, but you have an opinion on every issue that our world faces. So do I. I think ours is pretty close to each other, but we may be a little bit different. But whether or not you and I are a little different makes really no difference. Unless what really makes the difference is it's whether or not we're lined up with this book. See, you may look at one thing and say, it's okay, I got friends that do that, and they're good people. I got a cousin, and she's married to a woman. Or I've got a nephew, and he's got a boyfriend. Well, I do have a nephew, and she does have a cousin. They may not be married, but you know what? We've all got people in our life somewhere down the line who we're kind of, my goodness. Now, we're not to have respect to them because they're relatives. It's wrong regardless who it is. We can't make concessions because they're family. The Bible tells us that we're to judge sin in the church. I mean, they did back in the New Testament. I mean, if you look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, turn over in your Bible. Look where they used where they judged. I want you to see where they judged. I mean, it's in the Word of God that they did this. And they weren't wrong to do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll begin there in verse 3. This is Apostle Paul speaking on, well, we need to look and see what it was about. Let's begin there in verse 1. It is reported commonly, so everybody's talking about it, that there's fornication. We know what fornication is. That's sex between unmarried people. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Paul says, the stuff that's going on in your church is more wicked than what the Gentiles are out there doing, and they got a temple on the hill that's full of prostitutes. And men go up there and call that worship. And what y'all are doing is more wicked than that in a church. That one should have his father's wife. There was I'm assuming he was a grown man. Maybe he was a teenager. Maybe he was in his 20s. I don't know how old he was. I don't know how old she was. But obviously it wasn't his mother, or it would have said his mother. It said his father's wife. Evidently this must have been his father's second wife or something. But this young man and his stepmother are having an affair. They're having a sexual relationship. It's horrific. It's disgusting. It's perverted. And it's going on in one of the churches that Paul started. And notice what was going on in the church. And ye are puffed up. In other words, y'all are so high-minded and haughty. And have not rather mourned. This doesn't even bother y'all. That he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. This church was dealing with things like the liberals deal with things today. Let's just sweep it under the rug. Let's don't look at it. Let's don't think about it. We've known them for a long time. We like them. They're all right. They go to church with us. It'll be all right, y'all. That's the attitude they had. What did Paul say? Paul said, for I verily, hey, look here, as absent in body, I ain't there, but present in spirit. Hey, listen, I may not be there physically, but I'm there in spirit. He said, I have judged. Paul, how dare you? How dare you judge? Paul said, I've judged it already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. Well, where did you get your judgment at, Paul? Well, he's just fixing to tell you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it ain't on my authority. Paul's not saying because I'm Paul the Apostle and because I went to school under Gamaliel and I'm a Pharisee and blah, blah, blah. No, because I'm a Christian, because I believe the Lord, and because I know what the Lord says. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, when ye are gathered together, next time church meets, and my spirit, he said, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what you guys do. Listen to this. To deliver such a one unto Satan. For the destruction of the flesh. You hear that? Here's how that's supposed to go. Buddy, if you want to live like that, then you go on out of here. Don't bring it up in here. We don't want this in here anymore. You need to leave the church. You need to get gone. If you want to go and live in sin, then you go ahead and you live in sin. The devil will destroy your life. You go right ahead, but you're not going to destroy this church. You're not going to bring your unholy behavior in here and corrupt other people and make everybody think, hey, we can just go sleep with our stepmother. We're not going to bring this attitude in here where everybody just starts living in fornication. No, sir. We are judging according to the Word of God that you take that garbage out of here, and if it destroys your life, then it destroys your life. If you're saved, at least you'll go to heaven, but your life's wasted. Notice that's what he said right there, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This young man evidently had gotten saved at some point, but yet his flesh had took over his life. His flesh had dominion over him like God said it shouldn't have, and he was living in such a state where he was committing this horrendous sin, and he was okay with it, and he was living wickedly, and he wasn't willing to follow God, and Paul said, okay, just get him out of there, and if he goes on and destroys himself, fine. At least he'll go to heaven, but he's not going to destroy the church. Now, is that judgment? I think that's judging. They're to judge sin. And Paul was serious about it. I mean, he said down in he said in verse 6 following, he said, your glorying is not good. Y'all being okay with it, it ain't good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You let that keep going, it'll go and spread to other sin in the church. He said, purge out the old leaven. Leaven is a picture of sin. Leaven's what makes bread rise. He's comparing yeast to sin, and he's saying, look, if you leave that in there, it's going to make that church puff up with sin. All right, let's move on to something else. We ain't got time. We're going to run out of time. So he tells us we're to judge sin in our church. Amen? He tells us to judge matters between brethren. Listen, Christians ought to be able to look at something that's going on wrong in another Christian's life and be able to say something to them about it according to the Bible. Not just according to their opinion, but according to the Bible. Look at chapter 6 right there. Just look right there at chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. So they're talking about judging matters between brethren. So you got two people in the church, and they got a disagreement. And here's what he says. He says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. You talk about judging. This is what God has told the Apostle Paul to share with the church. Let's just say, Geraldine, I'm going to use you and Miss Charlotte, for example. Y'all are friends. But let's just say, y'all get into a disagreement over a piece of furniture. Okay? And I mean, y'all get plumb mad at each other. We're gonna make you the villain, Miss Geraldine. We're supposing, okay? Let's say you sold her a dresser for $25, and then about a week later, you decided you want your dresser back. You said, I don't know what I was thinking. I must have been crazy. I must have ate something, made me feel bad that day. I don't even know what I was thinking. Sell her that dresser. I like that dresser. I want it back. And she says, no, I like that dresser. I'm keeping it. And you say, no, listen, I didn't give you no receipt on that. Don't nobody know. Listen, don't nobody know you bought that for me. I'm going to sue you getting that dresser back. And she says, you're ridiculous. You ain't going to do that to me. And you go down and you file charges against her. She has to go to court. I mean, y'all are in court and sitting before a judge in Lamar County Courthouse arguing before lost people about a dresser. Now, how ridiculous is that? You know what God says y'all do? Come in here on a Sunday morning and let everybody in the church hear about it and let us come to a conclusion as to what ought to be done. So God expects his own people to judge what ought to be done in a matter like that, rather than embarrassing ourselves and ruining the testimony of the Lord before the lost world. God wants us to judge. He says, dare any of you having a matter against each other, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? When's that going to happen? That's during the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. God is going to have his saints who are now in glorified form all over the world taking care of judgment for him. He said, and if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? That's pretty far out right there. How much more things that pertain to this life? We're supposed to judge. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Listen, he said if it's a matter between, look, not only should you not go before a judge down to Lamar County Courthouse, Paul said you ought to take somebody that ain't been saved for very long. Somebody who's a baby in Christ. Somebody who nobody would call out to teach a class or anything like that. They just got in there. You can call them up and have them judge the matter. They're more equipped to do it than lost people. Thank God's okay with judging. If it's done by his, according to his word. We're to judge preaching too. You're to judge me. I'm inviting you to judge me. 1 Corinthians 14:29. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Turn over there. We're almost there. 1 Corinthians 14:29. All right, the Bible says, and this is how to have orderly worship services. And I mean, again, this is where there's more than one preacher. It said, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. And this is the case where you've got more than one preacher. Okay? So one gets up to preach, and another one's sitting there waiting to preach. And the one gets up and he says something that ain't in line with the Bible. Well, the other one's commanded by God to get up and say, now, wait a minute. I heard Brother So-and-so say this a while ago, but I wanted to show you and Brother So-and-so that God says here differently. That's what the Bible's telling us to do. Why? Because God's word is the supreme rule of law. So we have to be able to apply law for it to have any effect. Y'all understand that? What good are those red signs down there at the end of every street if nobody ever got pulled over for running one? You try it next time. You get pulled over running a stop sign, you try it with the cop next time. Don't you judge me. How dare you judge me? Put your ticket book up. Don't you judge me. See how far that'll get you. Right? You see, that's what Black Lives Matter is all about. It is. I'm not saying, look, let me be the first to say, I am not for corrupt policemen. I know there are plenty of good cops out there, but there are some who are wicked. They are rogue cops, and they get a charge out of abusing people, especially abusing young people in the black community, okay? But, folks, Black Lives Matter, what they're saying is, look, black people poor, they got to steal to get by, and the cops shouldn't shoot them for robbing somebody. That's basically the stand of Black Lives Matter. Okay, that's ridiculous. That's what you get when you say don't judge. That's saying don't apply the law. Don't apply the law. God says judge. Apply what I've shown you. Apply what I've taught you. We're to judge people that preach false messages. We're false Christ, false spirits. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. Turn over there if you want to. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. It's more of a study than it is a message, but that's all right. All right, listen to what the Word of God says here. It's talking about people preaching false messages. Would to God, or I wish to God, you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve or tricked Eve through his subtlety or his sneakiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. All right. Hang on a minute. Paul is not for somebody going after any little thing that comes along. There's always going to be somebody who's going to come at you with some kind of monkey business, with some kind of false doctrine. There's plenty of it around here. There's plenty of false religions. And Paul said, I'm jealous over you. I'm not going to share you. God's not going to share you with something that's false. You need to judge and understand what's right and what's wrong. He said, you know, if you're going to do that, you might as well go on with them. You might as well just go on ahead and run with the wrong bunch, because we're not going to share. Isn't that what he's saying? He said, listen, he said, if he that cometh, because he just said, he said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Listen, I've espoused you to Christ. You're supposed to be a chaste virgin. I mean, you're supposed to be spotless, right? He said, but they're out to trick you. There's false teachers that are out to trick you and fool you. So if somebody comes and preaches another Jesus, he said, or another spirit, which I didn't share with you, which I didn't bring to you, another gospel, he said you might bear well with him. He said, you might follow after him. He said, and by the way, God's not going to share. You got to have some judgment. You can't walk the fence between Christianity and Mormonism. You can't walk the fence between Christianity and Jehovah's Witness. You can't walk the fence between Christianity and Islam. You can't walk the fence. You're going to have to decide. You're going to have some judgment and see that Christ is the only way. He goes on to say in Galatians chapter 1, 8 through 10, he said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. When a curse is on somebody, listen, he's saying, let them go to hell. They're condemned to hell. They're going to burn in hell. They can burn in hell for preaching a false gospel to you. He said, and as we have said before, now I say again, if any man preach any gospel to you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Twice in a row, Paul's saying, false preachers can burn in hell. They're preaching some other Jesus to you. I think that's making a little judgment. He said, do I persuade men or God? Who am I trying to persuade here? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be a servant of Christ. I think Joel Osteen needs to get out of the ministry. He's seeking to please men. There's a bunch of them like that, seeking to please men. They need to get out of the ministry and quit robbing people. He said, preacher, you shouldn't judge people. I'm only judging by his fruit. That's what we have to judge by, the fruit. Listen, we live in a world today that's full of deception. We live in a world today that's full of sneaky things. There's a war going on. Do you know that the devil wants to take hold of your mind? He wants to get a hold of your mind. He wants to take control of your thoughts. He wants to get you thinking about things that are separated from God. He wants to get you to think about things that are contrary to God. He wants to get you involved in things that are contrary to what God teaches. And if he can do that, if he can lure you in with something that's just barely contrary to God, then if he can get you to accept that, it won't be a far step to take another tiny step in that direction, and another tiny step in that direction, and another tiny step. And pretty soon, you took a bunch of tiny steps, but you went a long way. And you went there in a hurry because you was enjoying yourself, doing something you know God didn't want you doing. We're to judge the works of darkness if we don't have anything to judge them by. I'm going to tell you something. Just like what I'm trying to say to you right now. Some people, bless their heart, they're on all kinds of medication. I've seen people that have a whole table full of medication. And you know what? They have to be very careful because some of them pills look like each other. They have to be very careful that they make sure they take the right pill at the right time. If they don't take the right pill at the right time, it could kill them. So they have to judge, is this that pill or is this that? They have to be very careful what they take. You and I have to be very careful what we take in too, into our ear holes and our eye holes. We have to be very careful. I'll tell you right now, if I was in that case, if I had a whole bunch of pills I had taken, it was dangerous if I took one at the wrong time or didn't take one, or I took the wrong one, I'd want to make sure I didn't do it in the dark, 3 o'clock in the morning, or by candlelight trying to find the pills. I'd want to make sure the lights was on so I could see clearly what I was taking, right? Even if I had a magnifying glass, make sure the number lines up with the rest of them, I'd make sure I had the right one. We need to be that careful when it comes to things we accept or don't accept in our life. And we need to have the light on, which is the Bible, so that we know we're doing right or we're doing wrong. Amen? So we're to judge the works of darkness. Ephesians 5:11 tells us, and have no fellowship. That means don't hang out, don't enjoy, don't sit around listening to watch. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. the unfruitful works of darkness. I think about that fig tree that Jesus cursed. He went by, walked by a fig tree, and he cursed the fig tree because it had not put any fruit on. If you follow the works of this world, you're going to be unfruitful as a believer. I don't want God to look at my life and it turn to nothing because I have no fruit in it. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, which means to expose it. And how do you expose something? You preach the truth against it. You tell the truth against it. You talk about the truth against it. That might lose me some friends. It might. But if those friends are leading you down the wrong road, you don't need those friends anyway until they get saved or get right with God. Romans 16, 17, and 18. Turn over there with me. Romans. Acts, then Romans. Acts chapter 16, 17 through 18. All right, Acts 16, 17 through 18. Now I beseech you, or I beg you, or urge you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. God is warning us against those who teach false doctrine. And God says, mark them. Say, hey, don't have anything to do with brother so-and-so over there, because brother so-and-so is teaching lies. That doesn't say try to destroy him. It says, say, you know what? I don't need to be around that guy anymore. I need to avoid him. You're making a judgment when you're doing that. You're judging him. You're saying he's a false prophet. He's teaching lies. God said to do it. He said people like that, they're just out for their own belly. In other words, they're just out trying to make money, trying to use people, trying to take advantage of people in order to get rich. Avoid them. Get away from them. Mark them. They're false. They're phonies. I'm judging. God says do it. We're to judge spirits. We're to try things to see if it's of God or not. Acts 20, 29. For I know this, after my departing, Paul said, and he was right, shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Soon as I'm gone, they're going to come in here and try to tear this church up. That's what he's saying. And they did. They tried to. 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I say to you, we live in that day. We live in a day where I just read in the news that some historic Baptist church now, there is a woman pastor who has a wife. A woman preacher with a wife pastoring a Baptist church. My own cousin is about to marry a guy who promotes homosexuality, and he's a Baptist preacher. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Because we're living in the last days. They're departing from the faith. Seducing spirits. Can I tell you why they're seducing spirits? Here's what they say. They say, look, you don't want everybody to turn on you, do you? If you'll go along with this, everybody will be okay. Everybody will be your friend. It'll be easier on you this way. Just go along with it. It's natural. It's natural. Let people love each other. What's wrong with love? Love's good. right? Love's good. We love love. Love makes everybody happy. It's okay. Just embrace it. It's all right. God made love. God is love. They love each other. Leave them alone. Ugh, makes me sick just say that. That's doctrines of devils, folks. Seducing spirits. 1 John 4:1. Listen to what the Bible says. Forget what everybody out there says. What does God say? He said, beloved. That's me, by the way. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. When he says beloved, he's talking to me. Amen. If you're saved, he's talking to you too. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. Try. How do I try them? You got to judge them. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How do you know if they are of God? I can tell you, you have a litmus test right in front of you. If these spirits are speaking about things other than what God is saying, if people are talking to you and telling you God's saying something and it don't line up with God's word, then you already judged it. It's wrong. They are wrong. They are devilish. And they're trying to seduce you away from the truth. Listen to me. We're to judge all things. That's the... See, the devil wants to destroy this book. This book hinders the devil. This book is like a fence that keeps the devil from doing everything he wants to do. And so the devil wants to take the people who are supposed to be putting up fence everywhere they go, and he wants us to go and start pulling up the posts and tearing down the wires and letting wickedness roam free. You see, this book is what keeps the wickedness out, but he wants us to pull the wickedness up so he can have free reign to come in and destroy your life. And so he, instead of judging anything, he wants us to forget about judging. And that's why their rallying cry of the wicked groups out there who are so against God is judge not, judge not. They put it on poster board and they hold it up. Judge not. Because they can get rid of the judgment. They can do whatever they want to do. We are to judge all things. I want you to look at this one, okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 15 and 16. If you find, tell me when you find that. If you find that, say amen. 1 Corinthians, some of y'all ain't found it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 15 and 16. We're going to read verse 15 together out loud. You ready? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. God's word, God's holy word, just said that. He that is spiritual does judge, not just a few things, but all things. What are we to judge it by? We're to judge it by the word of God. Y'all remember when you were, not y'all over here because y'all are little, but y'all over here, you remember back years ago, they used to have in the comic books in the back, they'd have x-ray specs you could order. And I remember being a kid, and they'd show people putting them on, them seeing all kinds of skeletons, people walking around skeletons and whatnot. X-ray specs. You put those on, you can see. It didn't really make you see x-rays. It made you see look like shadows or whatnot. But when you put those on, everything else looked different. The Word of God, when we put it on daily, it allows us to see the world differently than everybody else sees it. When we put the Word of God on, it allows us to see the world the way God sees it. And then when we see the world the way God sees it, we see the wrong in the world. We see the things that God hates. We see the things that God loves. And so instead of going about things, looking at it with our own bare eyes, which are human, our own eyes, which are affected by our feelings, which are fleshly. You hear me? Your feelings are of the flesh. When you get your feelings hurt, that has nothing to do with God. That has to do with your feelings. That has to do with you. It has to do with your flesh. Okay? Instead of your opinion, your view, your judgment of things being affected by how you feel that day, by how somebody else has treated you, your circumstances, none of those things should affect your judgment. You should judge everything by putting on the Word of God and looking at those things that come into your life by the Word of God and nothing else. And when you do that, you're able to say, well, God says this about that, so this is how I feel about it. Not so-and-so's into that, and I don't want to hurt them, so this is how I feel about it. No, God says this about it, and even though they're wrong, I have to make up my mind about how I feel about what they're doing based on what God says and not what I think or I feel. That doesn't mean I turn into a cold, harsh, and sensitive person, but that means I make a decision as to whether or not I allow myself to be close to their sin. I don't, because I don't want to be a part of it, because God tells me to get away from it. What should I do? I should share with them what God has said, not what I think or feel about it. I should share with them that God has a different view of what they're doing than they do. And even though in my human condition I feel for them, still need, because I don't want them to go to hell, because I don't want them to live a life of sin, because I want them to be saved, or if they're a Christian already who's fallen into sin, I want to rescue them, help rescue them with God's power out of their sin and restore them to a servant of God. So the only way I can do that is by God's word, not by me and my feelings. We live in a sinful world, folks. We live in a sinful world that's full of lies. We live in a sinful world that's full of error. We live in a world that's full of spiritual deception. But we got the truth right here. And we got to be careful. We need to be careful to exercise spiritual judgment in this time of corrupt political correctness. Because, see, that's what that is. Political correctness says you shouldn't speak out against anything. You see, I'm not trying to get political on you, but I want you to understand that America is basically a Nazi country. America is basically a reflection of Nazi Germany. We're becoming that country. We're becoming what Germany was in the 30s, where people who are Christians are being silenced. The majority rules. The majority speaks out. There's an ideology that's being pushed, and that is one of Christians need to hush and let everybody become what they want to become. And we shouldn't judge that at all. Political correctness tells you to hush and go along with it. Pressure's put on us from every side to see things man's way. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:25 that the fear of man bringeth a snare. What's a snare? That's like that thing that the fox steps in and it snaps on his foot. He stands there and squeals. He can't get loose. The fear of man, when we're afraid of man, we're afraid to give a warning of what God has said, then it puts a snare. It puts us in a trap where we can't go anywhere or do anything for God. We're just hindered and hampered by that snare that's God. It's that fear. Somebody's going to like me. Somebody's going to say something bad against me. I'll lose some friends. That's the fear of man, and it's going to hold you back from being what God wants you to be. But the Bible says, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You see, God's going to take care of it. We stand for the Lord. God will stand for us. Acts 5:29, when Peter and the other apostles had been brought in and they'd been put in jail and they'd been threatened and they were standing before the Sanhedrin court. Here's what they said in Acts 5:29. They said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you and I ought to obey God rather than men. Luke 9:26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, Jesus said, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me because I was afraid to speak up for God. I don't want Jesus someday when I stand before Jesus finally to see him look at me with a look of being ashamed of me on his face and to speak to me in the shame that he has of me. No! That book's true. That book's true. This world is a lie. This world's a pit of hell around us full of lies and deception. This book's true. This world is destroying people all around you. Can you not see that? Lives are being destroyed all around us by this old wicked world and its system. This book's truth. Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, listen to me, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. He told us that. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. Can I tell you something? When a snake, we're closed. We're having church right now. When a snake is slithering across the ground, he's sneaky. He's not coming in blowing horns and saying, here I am, don't step on me, I'm a snake. He's just kind of cutting through that grass as slick as he can, trying to get through there. That snake don't want to bite nobody, he's just trying to go somewhere. Wise as serpents, careful in where we're going. Try not to, see, God doesn't want us to go out and try to save this world. Hear what I'm saying. God doesn't want us to go and start a political movement and try to change the climate in America. God is not trying to save this world so people can live comfortable in it. God's trying to save people so they can get out of this world. We need to be careful that we don't spend our time fighting the corruption. Paul didn't form protests against Rome. He preached the gospel. Our main job is to tell others that people need to be saved. Our other job is to warn people against sin and warn them against God's wrath, which is coming. And let's be careful that we don't get so deceived by this world we lose sight of telling the gospel to other people. We are to judge, but we're to do it the right way. We're to make sure that we're not hypocrites in doing so. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we have truth to guide us. Lord, we just ask you, please, to bless us now. Lord, we ask you, Father, to bless our day, bless our thinking. Lord, may we, Lord, look to you for answers all the way. Lord, I just love you. I just thank you for being so faithful to me. Lord, please lift us up above our circumstances. Guide us, Lord. Help us, Father. We love you and we praise you. We give you glory today. Be with the one today that's lost. Draw them, bring them to understanding of their lost condition. Show them, Lord, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that they must come in repentance. They must turn to him and believe on him and trust the blood that was shed for their sins to wash them away. Trust that he, not only would he go into that grave, but that he come out. He rose from the grave. He's alive forevermore. He's the Savior. Father, help them. Help us, Lord, to be a witness to that truth. Help each one under the sound of my voice as they go out into the world, Lord. I pray that they be valiant for truth. We love you and we give you glory and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know who that was, man. Go see about your friend out here that's looking for you. Go see about her. Okay. Okay. Oh, you're leaving? I didn't know you were going anywhere.
You failed too?
Goodness. Where are you going?
My meemaw.
Okay.
My meemaw.
Because Bruce's staying.
Yeah, my little cousin's here 4 weeks from Austin. That baby.